in this series called House to House. And we've talked about in week one, really, that your house and God's plan have always been combined, that they've always been connected, that all God's plan has always been for your house to be central in his plan of sharing his love to the world. We talked about a house of welcome a couple weeks ago, and I just gave you five simple things that you could do to host people, to welcome people into your home. Last week, we talked about a house of worship, and that the presence of God is really welcomed into our house through our worship. And worship is more than a song. It's more than anything. That worship is a motivation of the heart. That Paul said it this way, that offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, that is what worship is. And this week, we're going to talk about our homes or our houses being a house of witness. And before we jump into that, I want to read that passage again from the book of Acts that we've been reading over and over again. It's in Acts chapter 2. If you start in Acts chapter 1, you have the report of what Jesus was doing between the crucifixion and his ascension. You have him telling his followers in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. And then the Holy Spirit falls on the apostles in the beginning of Acts chapter 2. Peter preaches the best sermon that was ever written, and 3,000 people are baptized. And then we begin to see, how does that church operate? Like, they're brand new. How do they operate? And this is what it says, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, this is our final week in this series, and I'm excited about this topic of being a witness, our house being a witness. But here's what I want you to think about, really, for over the last 6 months of 2020, 7 months it's been now, what has God done in your home and your life over those last 6 or 7 months? What has God done in your home or your life in the last 6 months? Because here's what I know, God doesn't waste an opportunity. And I can tell you some of the things that God's done in my life. He has given me the opportunity to really dive into what the Bible says about the church and how to operate. I've been able to learn over the last 6 months, how do we operate, or how did they in the Bible operate and live in a world that's very contrary to what the scripture teaches about us? How did the early church, how did they deal with issues with people? How did the church grow and thrive in that area under extreme persecution? Like, I've hated these last 6 or 7 months, but I know that it's been an opportunity for growth in my life and for change. And one of the things that I've been hoping for and praying for is that God is he is changing in our lives the way that we see church. I think that we've got to change our perspective or change the way that we see church. Because listen, the church isn't just a gathering on Thursday night or Sunday morning. But the church is who we are and really what takes place in our homes. It was in the temple courts and day by day in their homes. It was in the big and in the small. It was in the public and in the private. And we're all learning and we'll continue to learn that the church is bigger than a gathering. It's who we are and it's how we live. And there are some phrases out there that people use all the time that I don't think they really think about what they mean. You know, like the Bible verse, have you ever heard the Bible verse that says God helps those who help themselves? I've heard a lot of people say that. Like that's just nowhere in the Bible though. Like, and it's actually contrary to what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God helps us when we're helpless. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That in our weakness, that's where we find his strength. Now there's a little bit of truth, like God does want us to help ourselves. He wants us to work and go. Like, what about this phrase? Like, cleanliness is next to godliness. It might be true, but it's not scriptural. Like, you should be clean. But one of the phrases I've heard a lot in my life and it is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, who is my favorite like old Catholic guy. Like I love St. Francis of Assisi. There's a movie about him now called God's Fool. Like you should check that out. But it's attributed to saying this. I don't even know if he said it, but he said, preach the gospel and use words when necessary. Preach the gospel and use words when necessary. Like I understand the phrase and I understand what it's meant by it, but I oftentimes think we say things that we don't think about. To say that we should preach the gospel and only use word when necessary, it's like saying, hey, feed the hungry, but only use food when necessary. So what does it mean for our homes to be houses of witness? What is a witness? A witness is someone who has seen something or experienced something. If you're called by the court to be a witness, like that means they're going to ask you questions about something you've seen or you've experienced. If you watched a car wreck take place, or you saw a crime take place, or you're called to be a character witness for somebody, that means that you have to give testimony or to explain what you've seen or experienced. And that's why we're to be a witness for the gospel. That's why we are visibly and verbally bear witness. Like to what we've seen and experienced. We do it visibly. Like listen, we live out the gospel with what we experienced. We live out every day the way that Jesus has changed us, and the way that we love people, and the way that we care for people, and the way that we talk to people, and the way that we treat people. Like we live that out. Like Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. James would write that every good tree bears good fruit. Like there are fruits out there that we're going to bear. We're going to visibly be a witness or bear witness to what Jesus has done in our life. And don't get me wrong, those good works are not for salvation. We can't earn that. But they are an example of our witness and what God has done in our lives. But we also have to verbalize the gospel with our mouths. Like no one sits around and watches the TV on mute. Like you want to hear what's going on. Like we have to verbalize the message. People need to hear us give witness to the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or people will just think we're trying to live a good life. They're a good person. They're a great guy. Well, that's great. But that doesn't save anyone. That doesn't point anyone to the person who can save them. So in this series, as we end this series, as we move forward as a church, that's our goal, is that we are going to activate our homes to be kingdom outposts. That we are activating our homes to be places that you live, the places that you live, to be a kingdom outpost. So in other words, your home is the place where heaven and earth really meet. Your home should look like heaven. It should be a place where people find peace and joy and refuge. It should be a place where your doors are open and your heart is open to people. Think of your home as an embassy. I love what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. He said this, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." What's your ministry? What's your calling in life? It's the ministry of reconciliation. That's what God gave us. That God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against him. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ's ambassadors in this world. You know, ambassadors, they live in an embassy. I've had the opportunity to travel to several countries in my life. And one of the things I do before I go to a new country is I look up the address of the U.S. Embassy in case I need it. And thankfully, I've never personally had to go to one. I guess it's been great. But I've been on trips that people have. On one trip that we went on, there was a girl who lost her passport and her plane tickets. It was a disaster. And so what they had to do was, like a couple of them, they just left and they had to drive for 3 hours to get to the American Embassy. And the minute you walk through the embassy, the minute you walk through those gates, you're on American soil. No matter what country you're in, at the embassy, you have your needs met, you can find help. An American citizen walks into an American embassy any place in the world and they're on American soil. Your home is an embassy for the gospel. Your home is an outpost of the kingdom. Your home is where the values of heaven are portrayed. It's where you disciple your children and where you share meals together with people who are like you and nothing like you. It's where you share your stories and testimonies. It's where you can invite people who are outside of the kingdom of God to come in and get a glimpse of what the kingdom of God looks like. And listen, you don't have to be preachy about it. You do it visibly and you do it verbally. And I want to show you a picture of this in the book of Acts, in chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. It says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to talk to the women who had gathered there. One of them listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. She said, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So in this passage, in the book of Acts, 3,000 were saved, thousands are going on and on. One big gathering in Acts chapter 2. And then all the rest of the book of Acts is we see the kingdom advancing house to house. And one of those houses was Lydia's. Lydia comes to faith in Christ on the riverbank. And immediately, what does she do? This woman of influence, a woman of means, a woman probably of great wealth. She was connected to people. She had connections. She was a businesswoman. The minute that she comes to faith in Christ, she invites people into her home and she serves them. God opened her heart and she opened her home. And that's the way it should be. If God has opened your heart to the good news of the gospel, then it should be natural for you to open your home to other people that need the gospel or that need to be encouraged, to people who need hope, to people who need a reason to wake up in the morning. Our houses, our homes are to be kingdom outposts. But my home will never be opened if my heart isn't open to people. It starts with the heart. Lydia's heart was open. She received Christ, she was baptized, and then she brings them into her home. And here's why, here's what I believe, that the heart and the home are eternally connected. They're eternally connected. You know, Paul writes many times that we can renew our mind and our mind can be transformed and our mind can be changed and those things. But the Bible tells us that Jesus comes to dwell and to live in our heart. He makes his home in our heart. The heart and the home are eternally connected. And the home that you live in, listen, it's a reflection of you. It looks like you. It smells like you. It's decorated by you. Your clothes are in your home. Your dishes are on the shelf. You have stuff all over the desk. You know, my home looks like Jennifer and Jayla and Caitlin and Aiden and I. Why? Because our home is an extension of us. They're connected. And when we've been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, our home is going to look like us in the way that we live and the way that we treat people. And we can bring people into our home and be a witness of how Jesus has changed us. It doesn't mean perfection. And that's what the home is meant for. It's not for a place you just go sleep and eat and hide. It's where you invite people in to see the gospel at work. It's where you disciple your children. It's where spiritual conversations happen. Like Lydia's first witness, listen, was in her home. The first place that she went was back to her home. And she took that responsibility for her own family. And I know we have a lot of different age groups here, different demographics. We have singles, we have college people, we have grandparents, retirees, empty nesters, new parents. Listen, moms, like I want to tell you, your first ministry is to your kids and to your husband. Children, your first ministry is to your parents. Husbands, and I want to speak to you. Like if you're a husband, a dad, like I can speak to you from one dad to another. And it's time for the men of KCC, listen, to take the gospel seriously. It is. Like how much time do you spend reading and studying the scripture? How often do your kids see you living a life of service and serving other people and teaching them that it's not all about you? Dads, how many times do your kids see you laying down your rights instead of fighting for them? Dad, do you tithe? Do you give money to the ministry of this church? Like, I'm not gonna talk to you like you're a little kid, like you're grown men. I'm gonna talk to you like you're grown men. Like, it's a lot easier, men, for us to sit back on the sideline and criticize what's going on in the game. But real men get up off the couch and they roll up their sleeves and they break a sweat and they get in the game and they go to work. And I'm calling on men of this church to practice the spirit and the example of Lydia and make your home your first ministry. It's where you can witness. Listen, if I succeed in every area, check off every box for being a successful minister, but I fail my wife and my kids, I fail. Like, Dad, we want more for you. Like, you can do it. You can disciple your family. You can lead your wife and your children. You can be tender and compassionate and kind and hospitable and gentle, yet firm and disciplined and committed. Dad, you can be the one that after this service, you say, hey, who do you know that we can invite over to experience our little slice of heaven? Here's why I believe it's important, that we need to change our perspective, the way we look at our homes and the way we look at our church. Let's see our home as the primary place for evangelism and discipleship. Let's see our home as the primary place. Listen, church is important. Coming together is important. But that can't be the only time we're part of the kingdom. Like Friday night, Unite, it can't be the only place that your teenagers hear the gospel. Sunday night can't be the only place your junior hires are being fed. KCC Kids is awesome. But listen, it's not our KCC staff and volunteers' job to disciple your kids. We are secondary. Mom and Dad, you are primary. And I say that because I'm primary myself. Let's change our perspective. One more thing I want to say, and it's found in Acts 16, verse 40. You know, Lydia has been changed and her home is opened up and the disciples are later arrested in Philippi for preaching. And after they get out of jail, you know, the first place they go, and this is Acts 16:40. It says, after leaving the jail, they came to Lydia's house where they saw and encouraged the brothers and sisters and departed. They went to Lydia's house because they knew it was a safe place. They went back because they knew they could find a trusted friend. What if your home and my home were a place where people could feel safe before they found salvation? Like, I want our house to be a house where people can feel hope and peace and safe. And if people can feel safe in our homes, listen, they'll find salvation in our homes. Visibly and verbally, we are witnesses, ambassadors of God. And they will see Jesus in our home, they'll feel the Holy Spirit at our tables, and they'll eventually come to salvation in him. So the days of the Big C Church, thinking that pastor preaching a really good message is the only way people are gonna get saved, like, I believe they're done. Like, they're over. Like, we'll still preach. I'll still do, our staff will still do the very best we can to create a great environment for people to come. I still wanna see 1,000 people in here. But listen, imagine what would happen if every single home in our church was activated to be a house of witness, where you're actively, aggressively, continuously looking for ways to get people in your doors and around your table, in your living room, and we just didn't depend on Sundays to be the only day that we're playing ball. You know, we're playing ball every day of the week. We have opportunities in front of us every single day. You wanna know where your mission field is? Look around your house, your neighborhood, your workplace, your school. That's your mission. Your home is a kingdom outpost. It's an embassy for the gospel, and we believe that that's where people are going to meet Jesus, and that's where they're going to be saved. Like, we're still gonna do the big corporate gatherings, because I love them. But the world's gonna be changed when we start getting serious about being a house of witness to the gospel. You know, Paul wrote in that passage in 2 Corinthians that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, all of us. Not just me and Zach and Todd who are on staff and Brooke, all of us have been given this ministry of reconciliation, telling people that God does not count their sins against them, but he's given Jesus to be their righteousness. Today, maybe you're here, you're online, maybe you need to hear that message. That God doesn't want to count your sins against you. He's made a way out through Jesus Christ, and in Christ, you can become the righteousness of God. Our houses need to be a witness to the goodness of a God who would send Jesus to die for us. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray. And if there's a decision you need to make tonight, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Father God, tonight, God, we're thankful that you don't count our sins against us. We're thankful that we have this ministry of reconciliation. Thankful, God, that you have allowed us, chosen us to be your ambassadors to this world. And Father, I pray that as we continue to have church, that we would really start to be the church, that we'd start using our homes and the things that you've given us to visibly and verbally bear witness to what you have done in our lives. Father, I just pray you give us the boldness and the courage to open our homes and open our lives to people who are far from you. We thank you for doing that for us, and it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.